So today is May 23rd, 2019. It's 8:57 p.m. I'm just now leaving Starbucks. It's 9 o'clock at night. I rarely am ever out. I usually am asleep by this time, or at least laying down reading. But I had to take a nap. I've been working so hard every day. Usually I'm at Starbucks by 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Already working. I've been waking up at like 4-ish. And so normally I'm back in bed sleeping by 8:30 these days. And I've been getting so much work done. I'm still working on the Apostate Bride of Christ series. As of just now, I just got up part 28. I think I just got up part 28. Tonight. It's just amazing how fast this is coming together. I've been working so hard to finish the work. Incidentally, today is the 23rd day of the month, and I have not looked at my memory verses in a long time, and I decided today at lunch I'd look at my memory verses, and what are they today in the spiritual maturity category except for finish the last thing God asked you to do. They're all the scriptures about finishing the work. And so I have been working so hard knowing that God's blessing will come once I finish this work. And so what I want to capture is just quickly, today was the day I was so blessed. I have brand new tires on my little poor 15-year-old Toyota Prius. I had such a rich blessing that finally came where I had the flat tire today. And I had to change the tire. And then I went to Pep Boys to get the tire fixed. And I started thinking to myself, you know what? I think I need to probably go ahead and get some new tires. These have been not so good. They've not been wearing well, even though I bought them not too terribly long ago. And so I go there and I take my paperwork from when I had this $300 car repair, where the last time they did the oil change, they overfilled it, and it ended up sucking through the air filter and got onto the mass air sensor, and my car stopped while I'm driving down the road, and I had to power off the road with the battery, and then not knowing it was because of the oil change, we took it to Anderson Motors, and Anderson Motors is the one found out that the oil was being sucked in. So when I went back to Pep Boys, you know, they didn't really accommodate me because they're like, look, it's been 2,000 miles. I mean, you should have come back to us. And I said, look, I didn't know this was the problem. But there was a guy there named Brett. He called District, and I said, you know, guys, I spent $300 because I spent $117 with you on an oil change and a tire rotation. You know, I said, because you guys changed my oil, it cost me $300. I need you to make me good on this somehow. So he called District, and they said, you know, man, give it another 1,000 miles so we can make sure nothing else happens. And then I said, look, you don't even have to give me the money back. Just give me a good deal on tires or what have you. And he goes, yeah, we'll work something out for you. And I was like, okay, well, nothing I could do about it. But when I went in today, I asked for him. He's no longer there. A new manager named Patrick. He was very nice. I explained to them the whole situation. Man, did I get blessed. I told him, I said, you know, these tires are wearing wrong, number one. I need a flat. I said, but the tires are not wearing right. And I said, I bought the you know, extended warranty or whatever, the roadside hazard or whatever, so you guys could fix the tire for me. I said, but, you know, let me tell you this story. And I told him what happened. He goes, man, I'll get you taken care of. Don't worry about it. He says, what kind of tires you want to put on there? This guy refunded all my money, the $357 I paid for the tires that were on the car. He refunded 100% of that. And then gave me money off from the incident. I think he gave me more money off to accommodate me for the repair I paid to Anderson. I got a brand new set of Goodyear tires for $91 installed, and that included like $80-something of roadside hazard, where if you get a flat, they will come and take care of you on the road. I was just so blessed by that. So that happened as a blessing today. So I had taken a nap, and I got to actually almost go to sleep. My allergies give me this whole like real tired thing in the afternoon. So I was able to sleep, got up at 6:30, went and got the car, went back home, changed clothes, and I decided I was going to go work for a couple hours and keep going and finish this story. I get into Starbucks. I post 3 new recordings tonight. I was amazed. I walked out smiling. Good night, everybody. You know, thank you guys or whatever. And, you know, I said good night to the employees. Just so thankful for this work. And I get in the car. I check my email. The first email I read is an email where a lady is trying to be so nice and she's complimenting me, and her spirit is not one of trying to rip me down like some do. And this then becomes a gigantic long email about how all that's going on with Persis is my fault. And it is the demons that are tormenting me that I cannot see. And the pride and the this and the that. And it's the same ones that were there with my ex-wife. They're still there. And they're the reason why my wife has been pushed away from faith in Christ. Oh my goodness gracious. I'm reading this and I'm just like, and I just smiled in my heart and I said, oh Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And I wish people could see how often this happens, where every single time I'm trying to do some difficult work, Satan always comes. And what I've noticed is that his attacks get more and more clever. For example, he knows that I won't buy into the screaming ones anymore, where the person says, oh, you're an effing heretic and what a loser and what a devil. And you know, those things are so easy to just get past. They're just so blatantly obvious. But it's these subtle ones. Did God really say? That's such a subtle, crafty deception that Satan plays on Eve. And what I have found is that his attacks have become more subtle. They're cloaked in a lot more truth, a lot more kindness. They're designed to create doubt. I think I made a journal entry this morning about how I continue to face opposition. I've now received 3 of these type of emails in the last week. 3 emails. Unlike before, they've all come this week as I'm putting out this apostate bride of Christ. Satan hates that I'm doing this. What's interesting is just before that email came in, this is amazing to me. This is how you can tell the different spirits in people. This is 6:08. So this is like 11 minutes before the other email came in. Michael, thank you so much for these teachings. How can any of us repay you? Because through you and God, the blessing of this ministry would not exist. Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. Period. Then she begins to write in all caps, oh gosh, I'm blown away time and time again how much I learned through you. And now through you and Persis, all this means something in God's grace. And through you, I also see what the teachings are. It is heartbreaking, but I get it. Exclamation, exclamation. God is working through Persis as well. I have to cut it short here. Too much rambling in Christ. All I ask, I ask all things in Christ. God bless us all. Thank you much, brother in Christ, Cookie Jerez. And this is Loiska Jerez from South Africa. She's been a longtime subscriber. She's been truly blessed by the ministry. So that comes in. And then I want to read this email that comes in just 19 minutes later. And these are both in regards to the Bride of Apostasy. And so it says, Dear Michael, I've been following your YouTube ministry for some years now. Brother, I'm shocked by what I'm hearing on your series about the Bride of Apostasy. I've spent the last 2 days listening to your files. As I listen to your series, more and more things are confirmed. I don't know the ins and outs, only what you've been revealing in your video. This email may be harsh, so please brace yourself. You don't have to listen to me because I am a no one. Just please ask the Spirit to reveal if there is even a little bit of truth in what is written below. See, it's very kind. You have a choice in front of you, brother. Do you want your ministry to be Holy Spirit-filled, or do you want your listeners to be yes men who rely on your ministry and your discernment, especially of Persis, rather than of your Saviors, of our Saviors? There's a major step up just ahead for you, thanks to how God is using Persis. See, this all sounds so good so far. I'm urging you to stop. This is the second email today that I've received, somebody telling me that I need to stop sharing this. And even the first one this morning was, I need to take a break from my ministry. I mean, I just cannot believe the audacity, the ignorant thinking of some people to think that you can write to a man or woman of God and say, like, somehow or another, you are Jesus in their life, and you're going to be the one that's going to tell that servant of God when they need to take a break. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me. She writes, what I've been hearing in your videos is hate for your wife. Most of your recordings in this series have hate, contempt, spirit of gossip, denial, blame, pride, mass dishumility, idolatry of holy people. I heard these same spirits in your early videos as you spoke about your first wife, even though she did terrible things, and I can understand why you felt so betrayed. However, I knew, all capital letters, these same spirits will eventually show themselves in your next relationship and poison it, even if it was put together by God. I'm sorry to have been proved right. The devil is also probably relishing the car crash TV on YouTube. The devil has indeed hurt your marriage, and if you don't address strongholds within you, he will also harm your ministry. The agent the devil is acting through is you, not Persis, not your parents, not listeners who accuse you. The above are huge strongholds in you, and you seem to be completely blind to them. I hear your heartbreak about what's happening with Persis, but you have kept yourself deluded about some things and are using Persis's falling as an excuse to act from the above spirits rather than the Holy Spirit. You are allowing the spirit of denial to use the falling away and apostasy as a veneer to hide what's going on underneath and a justification to exercise hate, contempt, self-victimization, etc. As you probably know, God will use it all. See, this is where I have to pause and see. You can see there's some very eloquent sounding truth, and this would sound like something so honorable and so noble. And it's amazing how this person has been blinded to how much I have praised God for his sovereign hand in all of this, to afflict me and discipline me. It's really extraordinary how a person can miss that and yet think that all my message is about hate and about pride, and how it's amazing. It's just, it never ceases to amaze me how people can see things so differently. And so she goes, your ministry has blessed many people. See, this is amazing to me how people speak out of both sides of their mouth and they don't realize it. I see this all the time in people who will say, your ministry has been such a blessing to me, but you're a heretic in this. Your ministry has been such a blessing to me, but the devil owns you in this. And I'm just going, how do you think that God could allow, your ministry has blessed many people? She writes that after writing, I have hate, contempt, spirit of gossip, denial, blame, pride, mass dishumility, idolatry of holy people. How in the world can you say those things and then turn around and say, your ministry has blessed many people, including myself? That is so remarkable. So remarkable. But you are indeed also honoring yourself. It is possible to have both. It couldn't be that God's honoring me. And how is it that I'm honoring myself when I'm telling people that God gave me a bride who's fallen away, and I now have the shame of being in an unequally yoked marriage? It's amazing to me how people can twist things in accordance with what their personal filters are. It is possible to have both, and I believe every single minister teacher has done this. The question is, a point comes when God will give teachers the opportunity to say yes to the sanctification of that particular error of self-honor. I really hope you don't get past that point and say no. This person forgets Jesus Christ says, my Father will honor the one who serves me. From hearing what you're saying, it makes a lot of sense that Persis has been hurt by your actions too. The fact that she might not have said anything to you reveals her own patient and long-suffering nature. You are projecting your demons onto her. She has shown love to you. Yes, true spiritual love. It's amazing how a person can think that my wife has shown me true spiritual love. if this person heard the recordings and the emails that I intentionally held out, perhaps they would question that a little bit more. Despite you dishonoring her time and again publicly in your videos, and yet my wife's own words are, please, you do not have to honor me in your videos. This is almost comical. And what is so amazing to me is how a person can write this with such seemingly honorable, noble, truthful intentions. And yet, and I see this so much. That's why I laugh at this, because I see this so much and it fascinates me how people can be so convinced that they have the truth. I mean, despite you dishonoring her time and time again publicly in your videos, it says here, God has possibly allowed you, all capital letters, to be the agent who has hardened Persis's heart towards Jesus without her knowledge. That's amazing. If you don't check yourself, God might also allow you to harden the hearts of less discerning listeners. The spirit of religion is relishing the opportunity to take an even greater hold of you. You have allowed unhealed hurt and unforgiveness from your first marriage and childhood to fester, and the fruit of it is now showing in your relationship with your wife. No one is perfect. You yourself have said Persis is the most adorable person ever. You know you weren't entirely wrong. It is easy to dismiss someone who is obviously doing evil things like your ex-wife, but God is using someone like Persis, so it is harder to dismiss what she is saying. Persis' own journey with Christ is forcing you to look at your carnal natural parts you've avoided looking at. I am discerning her growth from what you are saying in the series. Discerning her growth. My goodness gracious, this is extraordinary, even if you do not see it. She is healing thanks to the Holy Spirit, even if she doesn't see it. Wow. This is remarkable. Yes, the devil is still whispering in her ear, but he is totally whispering in yours too, and you are falling for it. I can understand why Persis is right not to trust you. She has seen your actions and the strongholds in you that you are not aware of and don't want to look at. We are at a time when all our sins will be forced to the surface, and we're called to an even greater fellowship with Christ. God will not force us to see what we don't want to see. And I would want to say this to that same sister who's writing this. Amen. God will not force her to see this. And I'm not even going to reply to this. God will not force us to repent. Just because we have God's grace in one area, it does not mean we are completely sanctified. So it's reassuring when you say you are willing to look at what needs to die in you and praying for more long-suffering and patience. Brother, I urge you to stop immediately and seek out if any of this is true. We are to love and bless our enemies. I'm saddened to hear your public prayer to God to punish and break Persis. In spite of the fact that Paul himself says, I have turned them over to Satan so they will be taught not to blaspheme, that their soul may be saved. It's remarkable how people cannot see the truths of how God deals with these situations. We are to love and bless our enemies. I'm saddened to hear your public prayer to God to punish and break Persis. I pray that you instead ask God to reveal all hidden iniquity in your heart and strongholds in you. Not only has your denial hurt, hopefully just temporarily, a godly relationship with a new spirit-filled disciple of Christ who is still healing, you are potentially damaging the body of Christ when you dishonor Persis so publicly. I am so sorry to be so harsh. You are my brother and Persis is my sister in Christ. No, she's not. Persis is not a sister in Christ. Under no means is Persis a sister in Christ. Hopefully she'll listen to the recordings that I just posted tonight where Persis has completely rejected our entire religion and our Lord. It's just remarkable how deceived people can be. It is not too late. There is indeed a greater good here for the glory of God. If we repent, we can also truly help those who are falling away to recognize that they are falling away in love and truth rather than condemnation and self-righteousness. Prior to being born again, I was into the occult, life coaching, therapy, personality testing, etc. Now that I'm out of all of that, I can see why the devil merely points to those things and Christians like Persis follow. In some ways, you are helping him by staying in childish self-righteousness, victimization. I hope you consider these things. I don't write emails to strangers, but you appear to be so deep into denial that it would be wrong not to send this to you. Perhaps no one is saying these things to you or you're ignoring them. No, they're saying them to me. I'd rather be wrong about all this, and I hope that I am, in which case I apologize for this entire email. Now, that is just extraordinary. How a person can write so many things that they believe are true. I mean, this is just incredible. And I wish, again, I'm not going to reply to this person's email because this person will not have any way to see it. I'm not going to defend myself. And I thank God for these people that feel this way. And I'm going to pray for this lady that God will bless her and help her to see better. And I understand that everybody sees things so differently and not everybody has all the information. But I so wish that people could see how the Lord allows Satan to attack at such climactic points in my ministry throughout the time like this, how he comes to try to bring doubt. He constantly tries to bring doubt to get me to stop. And I wish people could see the part of my Christian life. They can't see how much I'm yielded to in submission to the Father, how even when people send me emails like this, indeed I say, Father, if any of this is true, please let me know. I've always done that. God, please show me. And what's so amazing is that I had a few doubts that were hitting me this morning after I received another email that was very similar to this. And I said, Lord, you know me, I'm just going to push through. God, you'll have to take care of this. And while I'm in the middle of doing one of the recordings, I had to grab my phone and it was 1:11. You are my son whom I love, with you I am well pleased. 9:51 was my reply to the earlier message. And 9:51 is the idea of proceeding forward. Jesus Christ proceeded resolutely to Jerusalem. When the time came for him to go to heaven, he proceeded resolutely to Jerusalem in the face of Samaritan opposition. And so it's just amazing to me. And I see that, you know, Father sees I'm still susceptible to some of this discouragement, that I still can be susceptible to, especially when they're crafted like this. I mean, it really makes it sound like, man, you know, I'm the one that's responsible for Persis is falling away, and you know, I'm the one that hasn't been gentle enough, and I'm the one that deceived her, and it's my pride, and I'm deceived, and so forth and so on. And you know, I have found over the years when the devil strikes me like this, there has been some moments when it has felt so real, like maybe I am wrong, like maybe I have, you know, done this, and you know, it's exactly like how my ex-wife used to do with me, where she would accuse me so much of something that you would almost begin to believe it. You know, you would almost begin to believe the lie. And I don't fall for it anymore, praise God, like I used to, but there's been times when that doubt can get in you and you almost want to take action on it. And then I always just go back to wait for Father to give encouragement. Or what I do is I reflect back on all the fruit, because Jesus taught you'll know a tree by its fruit. And when you see people sending emails saying, Michael, I had to resist the temptation to look down on Persis, but then I quickly realized I have a Persis in me. And I quickly realized that how Persis is treating you is how I am treating God. See, this is the wake-up call. That is extraordinary fruit for a person to humble themselves and admit that they see their own apostasy. They see their own unfaithfulness and as a member of the Bride of Christ, as an example of me sharing this. It's giving people freedom and giving people eyes to see this. So nonetheless, Father's words to me have been, finish the work, continue to move forward. And I prayed today that Father would vindicate me. I said, Lord God, when you're ready, you'll vindicate me by answering these prayers that I have prayed publicly for my wife, by bringing to fruition the promises that I've publicly declared that you will turn her from apostasy. You will bring her back from her trip of being prodigal. And perhaps this may lead other people by the thousands to believe and trust God for the same thing in their life, if they have a family member or a spouse who's gone astray. So I'm going to just continue to move forward and do
all that God's asked me to do and to continue to learn from these examples and to continue to learn from these examples that Satan sends well-meaning people deceived to try to stop the work. And we're living in a day and time where the days are desperate. And I know there's going to be many. This is the final point I wanted to add is, you know, the people were much more divided on Jesus than they are on me. In other words, it seems like there's a lot more people that side with me and believe what I'm saying and teaching than there were with Jesus. I have my haters, and maybe some of them just aren't as vocal as they used to be. But I've said to the Lord, there should be a point in time where as you drive me more and more into truth, more and more people separate. You know, more and more people don't hear this. This takes a tremendous desire for spiritual maturity, a tremendous desire to go deep, to understand some of these things. This series is not for a new Christian or a carnal believer. This is for those that are wanting to walk in the deeper spiritual life, to understand this. So I must keep going. I have heard clearly from Father, and people can continue to misunderstand my motives and accuse me. But I know one day God will vindicate me when my wife comes back. And, you know, I've even prayed that God will, to take it a step farther. I said, Father, bring glory to your name. Show that you asked me to do this. Just like you asked Jeremiah to buy that plot of land in a land that's being destroyed, but that you would one day restore. God, do this. Have it be where Persis will one day admit publicly that everything I said was true, and that it needed to be said, and that she walked away from the one she once was devoted to in love, her Savior, Jesus Christ.